Proverbs 14, verse 29 says this, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly, exalts foolishness." Hey, let me ask you a question. When it comes to the issue of anger, are you slow to get angry or are you quick-tempered? Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm the founder of From His Heart Ministries, and From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I want to talk to you today about the subject of anger. You know, the Bible tells us, Ephesians 4:26, a strange verse, if you don't take it in context, it says, "Be angry." Really? Be angry. "And yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." You know, when we think of the issue of anger, many of us, you know, if we run across an angry person, we say, "Oh man, that guy is really angry. That lady is really angry." We think of other people as angry people. We don't like to think of ourselves as angry people. But I wrote a booklet called "Kicking and Screaming: God's Answer to Your Anger," and it was built on Proverbs 14:29 that I just read. "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." The Bible has a lot to say about the person who is quick-tempered. Outbursts of anger, that's a deed of the flesh. But I just kind of made up some questions in this booklet that I wrote about the anger test. I said, if you're not sure if you have an anger problem, answer yes or no on this revealing little test. So here's the first question. When you get stuck in traffic, do you get upset and start yelling and pounding the steering wheel? I mean, do you really lose it in traffic? Could mean that you have an anger problem. How about this question? If you get up in the middle of the night to use the restroom and you stub your toe, now we've all done that and it hurts like crazy, but do you start cursing the furniture? I think about the movie Big Daddy when Adam Sandler stepped on Scuba Steve. He wasn't too happy about that little doll that he stepped on as he was groggily going to his bed. If you go to a restaurant and spill food down the front of your shirt, does that drive you insane and nearly ruin the meal for you? I've had that experience. I think most people have. My good friend, Dr. John Bassanio, who's in heaven now, he came and preached for me on a couple of different occasions. And when I would take him to eat, John was a big guy, and I'd take him to eat, the first thing he would order were napkins. And so he said, and he would just pile the napkins on his chest so he wouldn't get the food on him. And so I'd never forgotten that. What'll it be? Napkins. Question number four, do you tend to blame others for your outbursts? Is it always someone else's fault? Your spouse's fault, your kid's fault, your parents' fault, your employer's fault, your secretary's fault, somebody else's fault, anybody else's fault, but it's not your fault. You made me get mad. That's the kind of idea there. Do you have difficulty submitting to authority? That's a huge one. Do you seethe inside when someone over you begins to point out your weaknesses and starts making changes in the way you are to do things? And here's maybe the most revealing question if you want to know if you're an angry person or not. Would the people closest to you say that you have a hair trigger temper, a volatile temper? Are you like a volcano ready to explode? Be angry, and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. You know, when we think of the subject of anger, and some of you, maybe you were a TCU fan, and you watched TCU lay an egg on the national championship game, and very, very disappointing. I know all the players were disappointed. The coach was disappointed. I mean, they were no match for Georgia, obviously, but they probably couldn't have played much worse. And some people get all wrapped up in a football game, and you can really lose it. We've seen probably the memes of somebody watching his favorite team and breaking his television because the favorite team missed a tackle, missed the field goal, whatever, did something stupid, something disappointing that caused them to lose the game, and people go crazy. Now, I have found, I'm a big University of Texas football fan, and I've found that my weekend goes better if I don't watch, because I get wrapped up in it, and I start thinking, hey, I think this might be the year, and we're going to win this game, and it can be very disappointing, and you can get angry, and it can put you in a bad mood when you watch football and your team doesn't win. And so when we think about getting angry over stuff like that, that's kind of like getting angry in traffic, getting angry when your football team doesn't win. There are two kinds of anger as we look at the subject. There is righteous anger. We call that righteous indignation. Righteous anger, righteous indignation is never a sin. How do we know that? Because the Lord gets angry. The Lord, who is holy, 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 he gets angry. And so there is an anger that is righteous, but that's not the anger that gets us in trouble. That doesn't get us in trouble with God, and typically doesn't get us in trouble with man. It's unrighteous anger that gets us in trouble with God and man when we blow a gasket. And so as we look at the subject of anger, I wrote a book a few years ago called Runaway Emotions, Why You Feel the Way You Do and What God Wants You to Do About It. And I have a chapter in this book that deals with the subject of anger, because anger is a big, big problem. And I entitled that chapter, The Beast Within. Anger is something inside of us, and can cause all kinds of problems. It causes tremendous problems in marriage, especially when you take an angry person and mix alcohol with that angry person. Not good at all. So if we look at anger, what is righteous anger? If the Lord gets angry, then I guess I can get angry too. But what does the Lord get angry about? See, righteous anger is an anger that reacts against sin. It's not from a personal preference or a personal desire. It has to do with sin. Moses got angry when he came down off the mountain in Exodus chapter 32 because the people had made a golden calf and they had sinned against the Lord. And so it was obvious sin, and it made him very, very angry. It made him angry at his brother Aaron, who allowed the people to do what they did and participated in their sin in fashioning the golden calf. Well, that's a righteous indignation when you're angry because of sin. There's an anger that reacts when God's glory is being defamed and God's name is being run through the muck and the mire and the slime of the sewer. You know, Jesus reacted when he cleansed the temple. He did that at the beginning of his ministry. He did that at the end of his ministry. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves, a robber's den. And so he threw out the money changers and those selling animals there for a great profit. And he overturned the tables. He didn't harm anyone, but he got that corruption out of the temple, because that big temple area, and remember this, when you look at the temple, you type in the Jewish temple, it's a big area. The temple itself is not very big, the inside portion of it. The huge outer court of the temple, the court of the Gentiles, that's where they would have the selling of the animals, and the money changers would be there with their tables. And they called it the Bazaar of Annas. Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest, and Annas himself served as high priest. And those guys were in cahoots with the Romans, and they were making money off of the people and off of the worship of God. They were extorting the people, and it was a terrible thing that they were doing. And the Lord got righteously indignant about that, and he threw, to coin a phrase, he threw those bums out, and he cast them out of the temple because God's name was being defamed. And so when we react towards sin, That's righteous indignation. When we act toward God's name being defamed, that's righteous indignation. When we see people being used by others as pawns for nefarious purposes, that's an opportunity, and that brings about righteous indignation. Let me give you an example. Mark chapter 3. And it says, "And Jesus entered into a synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they were watching to see him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath in order that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Rise and come forward.' And he said to them," these are the religious leaders, "'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill?' But they kept silent, and after looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart, at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately began taking counsel with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him." Why was Jesus angry? Because he looked around and he saw that these religious leaders didn't give a rip about this guy with the withered hand. He was just a pawn. They were just using him to get at Jesus. And when people use other people for evil purposes, well, that should bring about righteous indignation in the heart, in the hearts of believers. And so if you think about your angry, what am I angry about? If it falls into those categories, you say, okay, that's righteous indignation. Now, how do I express that anger? You know, we had people that were very angry, and they were burning cities and looting cities, and "We demand justice," and "No justice, no peace." And they tried to say, well, you know, our example is Jesus, because he went after the money changers. He overturned the tables and he drove them out. Jesus went after the people that were committing the crime against God. He didn't instruct people to start burning down businesses that had nothing to do with that. The idea that you express yourself by sinning just destroys the whole concept of righteous indignation. The moment that you sin is not righteous indignation, it's unrighteous indignation, and this is about you. This isn't about God, because God would never instruct you to just start committing acts of violence and destruction of personal property and things like that against somebody that has nothing to do with the issue. And so we see a lot of that in our world today. And hey, if you get angry when you read the news and you see the lies that come from big government and big pharma and big government institutions, and that come from many pulpits, those who've been given the gift of God's word to instruct the people, as we talked about yesterday, how the priests in the nation of Judah had become corrupt, the prophets were prophesying lies, and God said in Jeremiah, "My people love it so. They're just tickling the ears. They're just telling people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear." Now, if that makes you angry inside, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But be angry, Ephesians 4:26, and sin not. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. So there's a big difference between righteous anger and unrighteous anger. And the righteous anger doesn't get us in trouble like the unrighteous anger does, the outbursts of anger. We exalt folly when we fly off the handle. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how do you deal with anger, that beast within. What do you do if you have a quick hair trigger temper? How do you control it? And what is the answer? What is God's answer to our anger? Because he does have an answer for us. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This This is Bible League International with an urgent plea. You know, Christian persecution in the 20th and 21st centuries exceeds all previous 19. I mean, that tells you that we're addressing what is arguably the number one issue facing the global church. Christians are paying a heavy price simply for believing Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This woman in South Africa was hated by her family now that she's come to Christ, but here's her reaction when she finally got her own Bible.
We were in Mpumalanga. The lady there, she knelt down and she cried. At the age of 60, she never had a Bible.
AFR listeners, you're putting tears of joy on the faces of Bible-less persecuted believers all over the world. You've done that for thousands. We have to wrap up January 31st. The need is so great, so please, at $5 a Bible, $50 sends 10, $500 sends 100, would you pray about it? And then call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org. Would you do it by January 31st? And God bless you for caring.
Hey, did you hear? MoneyWise is different. It's now Faith and Finance with Rob West. Don't worry, Rob will still help build your faith while giving biblical advice about your finances. It's just a different name.
From a diversification perspective, I like a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio, especially given where the market is right now.
Faith and Finance with Rob West. Weekdays at 9 a.m. Central on AFR or catch the podcast at AFR.net.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about anger. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Hey, we asked the question at the start of the program, are you somebody who struggles with anger? Or are you somebody who is slow to anger? Because if you do, you have great understanding, but if you're quick-tempered, you exalt folly. Now, just a quick recap. Why does God get angry? Because he does. He gets angry at disobedience. He gets angry at unbelief. You read how God got angry at the children of Israel because they would not believe in him. He was going to destroy them because of their sin, because of their unbelief. God gets angry at indifference in Mark chapter 3 as the people didn't care about this man with the withered hand. But here's the good news. God's not an angry God. I heard somebody say one time, this is really good. God is not a mad God. God is not a sad God. God is a glad God. In his presence is fullness of joy, and in his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God does get mad, but God is not an angry God. You know, some people have that idea that God is, he just sits on a throne of judgment. He's got a big bag of thunderbolts or lightning bolts in one hand and a billy club in the other, and the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may find someone having fun and zap them. That's not God. God is a good God, and God loves us. And God, as we said yesterday, God does not want to judge. He wants to save. God did not send the Son into the world, John 3:17, so that the world would be condemned. He sent the Son into the world to save the world. And so God is a good God who does get angry, and God is a righteous judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly, as Abraham said to God in Genesis chapter 18? And that's a rhetorical question. Of course, the judge of all the earth is going to deal justly, and God is going to judge sin. One of the greatest passages of Scripture is in Exodus 34. I was going to say Genesis 34. That's not right. Exodus 34, where the Lord reveals himself to Moses. Moses prayed, "Show me your glory." And so the Lord hid him in the cleft of the rock and covered him there with his hand, as the song says, and he let his glory pass by. And he said, "Moses, you can't see the front, my face, because no man can see my face and live. I'm just going to let you see the backside of my glory, the edges of my glory." And as the Lord passed by, he said these words, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. God does punish sin, but he wants to forgive. He wants to cleanse. He is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. So think about that verse, Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. How much do you understand about anger? Why are you angry? There's a great question in Genesis chapter 4 when we read the story about Cain and Abel. You know, Abel offered a blood sacrifice to the Lord, and Cain didn't. And Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so God had revealed to those boys, when you come before me, you come with a blood sacrifice, because you can't have faith unless it's attached to the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Abel offered a sacrifice by faith, so he heard the word, and Cain heard the word too. Abel came God's way, Cain came his own way. And God had no regard for Cain and his offering, because he came with the fruit of the ground that had been cursed. And Cain became very angry because the Lord had no regard for his offering, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, such a key question as we tackle this subject of anger, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Hey, maybe you're listening today, and you are honest enough to say, you know, I think I have a problem with anger. People that love me have told me that they have to kind of walk around on eggshells, that I tend to be a person that blows up easily. I'm kind of an angry person. Well, the big question is, why are you angry? You know, God asked that question of Jonah. Jonah, do you have a right to be angry? Why are you angry? Do you have a right to be angry? And so as we search our hearts to say, okay, is this anger that I'm feeling, is it righteous indignation? Am I reacting against sin? Is God's name being run through the muck and the mire and the slime of the sewer? Is that why I'm angry? Are people being abused? And I see that. You know, we think about abortion should make every Christian angry with righteous indignation, because precious little babies are being ripped apart in their mother's wombs. As we talk about the vaccines, the COVID vaccine, where people take that thinking that it's going to be safe and that it's going to be effective, and it is proven to be not safe and not effective. And so we get righteously indignant when we see the lies and when people are forced to do something they don't want to do, or they will lose their jobs. That is something that should make you angry. But for us, unrighteous indignation. What is the root cause of our anger? Well, let me throw out some. How about an unrealistic expectation? You have unrealistic expectations about how your life should go, how your marriage should go, how your family should go, how your church should go. Many pastors have unrealistic expectations. Everybody's going to love me. Everybody's going to follow me. I'm not going to have any opposition. That's just not real life. And hey, marriage is a struggle, and good marriages don't just happen. And good families don't just happen. You're going to have to work at it, and it's going to be difficult. My friend Louis Miori, who's a counselor in Houston, he said that's his years of counseling. The number one problem in marriage, he said, is unrealistic expectations. And when you have unrealistic expectations and those expectations don't get met, what happens? You get angry. Hey, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I thought it was supposed to be this way, and it's not this way at all. Why are you angry? God asked Cain. That's a good question to ask yourself. How about this root cause? Unresolved hurts. You know, when you get hurt and you don't resolve that hurt, we all get hurt. People do things, whether purposely or accidentally, they do things that hurt our feelings. And then we respond to that. And every hurt is like a coin. One side of the coin is hurt, and every hurt will lead to anger. Every ow eventually brings about a pow. I want to hit you back. You hurt me. I want to hurt you. I am mad at you. And so when someone does something to hurt your feelings, you get angry. Now, why Cain? He didn't have reason to be angry, but he was angry. And who was he angry at? He was angry at God. Why? Because God didn't receive his offering. Well, he didn't come God's way. God's not doing a bait and switch. God told him how to come, and he didn't come God's way, and he got angry because God didn't just go along with his program. I heard John Hagee say this years ago. I love it. He said, you know, when it comes to the commands of God, he's not playing let's make a deal. He's saying this is the deal, and I'm God and you're not, and I set the rules and you don't, and I tell you how to come and you come my way, because there is a way, Proverbs 14:12 or 16:25 is the same verse, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And God knows the way, and there's only one way to get to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So we have unresolved hurts, and when we get angry, so you're sad, and then you get mad, and if you don't deal with the mad, it's going to go bad. That's why Jesus said, or the Lord said to Cain, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, behold, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you to take over, to rip you to shreds. When lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. And so we have to deal with those past hurts, because every hurt turns to anger, and every anger, if it's not dealt with properly and not placed under the blood of Jesus and not brought to the Lord, Lord, this is what happened, this is what I'm dealing with, then that will turn into resentment and bitterness, and bitterness is a cancer of the soul that will eat you alive. And so many people are carrying around a bitter spirit. They're mad at somebody that hurt them last month, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They're mad at a parent that was a bad parent. They're mad at a coach that cut them from the team. They're mad at some teacher that embarrassed them. They're mad at a child who broke their heart or did them dirty in some way. And they're carrying that around. You know, the Lord is very, very strong when it comes to the issue of forgiveness. And the Lord says, if you don't forgive men their transgressions, neither will your Father forgive you. I remember the first time I heard that in a sermon from Matthew 6, and I said, that can't be right. And then I read it for myself. It is right. That's from the lips of Jesus. And he's very, very strong about forgiving. Why? Because he knows he loves you, and he knows that if you don't forgive men for their transgressions, that will hurt you. That will wreck and ruin your life. That will shipwreck you. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Get all those things out. If you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Matthew 6:15. So if you're carrying around a bitter heart, you're going to have anger problems. I mean, it's just a given. And you need to get those things out of the shadows and under the blood. You know, Joseph in the book of Genesis, he could have been a bitter guy. His brothers sold him into slavery. His brothers hated him. They were jealous of him. They sold him into slavery. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, we have that great verse where his brothers, you know, once daddy died, Jacob, who was the father of those 12 boys, once he died, then the brothers got nervous and they said, Joseph might turn on us because we did him dirty. And Joseph said, Genesis 50, verse 20, as for me, you did evil against me. He didn't try and sugarcoat it. What they did was wrong. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. Hey, when you take all those hurts and you give them to the Lord and just trust him with it, God can do great things. I listened to the testimony of Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley, the pastor of First Baptist Atlanta, pastor emeritus now, retired just in the last year or so, and preached for many, many years, and God used him in so many lives, In Touch Ministries. Well, he didn't have a bed of roses at First Baptist Atlanta back in the early days, and people wanted him out. He came as the associate pastor, and then the pastor retired or resigned. Something happened with that pastor, and he left. And so Charles began to preach, and the church began to really respond and grow. And there was a group of about 200 or so people that did not want him as the pastor, and they kept trying to get him to leave. And he wouldn't leave. He said, no, God is not leading me to leave, and so I'm not going to do it. And they tried to pay him off. He said, you know, your silver perish with you, so to speak. He's like, if you think I'm going to break the will of God and go against the will of God for money, then you don't know me very well. And here's something he said as he was praying, because it was very, very difficult on him. It was very difficult on his family. He said the Lord really spoke to his heart during those tough times, and he spent a lot of time in prayer. And he said, the Lord said, Charles, he said, everything that happens to you, you just know it's coming from me. I'm allowing this to come into your life, so don't get bitter. Just trust me. This is coming from me. Hey, in your life, you might have had some terrible things happen, but just know that nothing comes into your life or mine unless it first filters through God's fingers of love. God is always good. God is always kind, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. You and I can trust God. And as we get those hurts underneath the blood of the Lord and just trust him, Lord, I trust your grace. I trust your power. You're in control. I'm not in control. And so, Lord, whatever happens, I want to be your man, your woman, your boy, your girl. And I don't want to have an angry heart. I don't want to see people as the enemy. I want to see them as the mission field. When you start living life like that, the anger melts away. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And when we come back from the break, we'll open the phone lines, and the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to take your call and talk to you about this important subject about anger. And how do you deal with personal anger? How do you deal with an angry person? Because a lot of us have encounters. Maybe we have an angry boss, or maybe we have an angry spouse, or maybe we have an angry sibling. How do you deal with the angry person? So call in and let's talk about this important subject, Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Don't go away.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
The Larsons learned that a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You just can't outgive God, and He just keeps pouring back into us.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about anger, something that we all have to deal with. Anger is a universal issue. Christians and non-Christians, we deal with anger. Righteous indignation is okay, but unrighteous indignation, the thing that really causes problems in relationships and in our own hearts, that's not okay. That's a sin. Be angry, Ephesians 4:26. Be angry. That's okay if it's righteous indignation, and sin not, and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, when you feel the anger rising up, that no doubt for many of us is going to happen today. It's going to happen this morning. You're going to be in some kind of a meeting, and somebody's going to say something, and you're going to feel it. It's just going to start rising up. And here's the thing, and I learned this from my seminary professor, my preaching professor, Wayne McDill, and he said, here's the choice that we all have. When you feel the anger rising up, you can choose God's grace over your control. Because see, anger really, when you boil it down, what does anger say? The unrighteous anger that we deal with. We get angry because at the baseline we say, well, this is not right. I deserve better than this. And when you have this I deserve better than this attitude, it messes everything up. That's why we said from the testimony of Charles Stanley, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, Charles, you view this as coming from me. So if I let this come into your life, this person say these things to you, this person do this thing to you, you may not understand it, but I'm using it for good. Joseph didn't understand why his brothers treated him that way. He didn't understand why Potiphar's wife lied about him. He didn't understand why all this difficulty was coming upon him, but he didn't have to understand it. He just had to trust God. Well, God understands it. God knows why this is happening. And God is allowing this to come into my life. So he's going to use it some way, somehow. But as for me, he said to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to preserve many people alive. Joseph wouldn't have become the prime minister of Egypt had his brothers not done what they did to him. Now, what they did to him was a sin. It was terrible, it was horrible. But where man rules, God overrules. And God works all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. So when you feel that anger, this is what Wayne McDill told us to do. He said, here's a little exercise you can do. You can even clench your fists and you can say, God, this makes me so angry. And you clench your fists and then you release that to God and say, God, but I choose your grace over my control and I give it to you. And Lord, I just trust you that you're going to work this together for good. You're a good God. You're opposed to the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And when someone says something to you that's hurtful, it's mean, that hurt will turn to anger eventually. And so you just choose grace over your control and say, God, work it together for good. That's what you do. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you. Hey, how did they treat the Lord Jesus? They lied about him. They called him names. This man casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Can you imagine being called Beelzebul? That's another name for Satan. And that's what they said of the Lord Jesus Christ. He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. That's a terrible, horrible thing. And Jesus took all that abuse. And when he was dying on the cross, what was he doing? He was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And he never held on to the anger. And he never held on to the bitterness, because that would destroy him. That would have made him a dirty vessel. That's a sin. And so he kept giving that to the Lord. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840, as we talk about this important subject of anger. Now, I was thinking, I get angry when I see video after video after video of people dropping dead or dropping because they had a stroke or a heart attack or something like that. We see that a lot. And, you know, the question is, what is causing that? And those who refuse to say we need to look at the vaccine as a cause of this, because we didn't have this happening before, but we have it happening a lot now. I read some tweet from a lady that she had an episode where she pretty much dropped on camera. And she said she got mad at people that were questioning that could come from the vaccine. She said, well, I know for sure that it didn't come from the vaccine. It's like, well, how would you possibly know that? I just think we ought to look into that. And just not to burst anybody's bubble, but if you think that companies like Pfizer are, they ride a white horse, you might want to think again. You know, in 2009, they had to pay a $2.3 billion fine for fraud because they lied about their drugs, and they had to plead guilty about that and pay a huge sum of money for that crime and for that offense. So, hey, as we said yesterday, the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. You throw enough money at people, and so many of them will cave because their honor is for sale, their integrity is for sale, their morality is for sale. And they will lie and cheat and steal, and that destroys lives, and that makes people who love the truth angry. So we have Vicky from Virginia on the line. Vicky, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Shreve. I love your show, and I love your sermons in the evenings.
Thank you.
But I wanted to thank you. I wanted to tell you that, you know, I'd lived a life of just anger. I'd wake up angry. I'd go to bed angry. I was constantly angry. And my kids, it reflected in them. They were their special needs children. And my youngest, he was always angry. And it would be, an hour and a half fit about it. And I prayed for him to lose his anger and that God would take that from him. And God had to get my attention first. And I knew this was learned behavior through me. And God blew out my antenna. We tried to replace it twice to watch TV. I was angry all the time watching television. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God had to fix my anger in order for my prayers for my son to be answered. And now if he gets angry, it's less than 2 minutes. And he apologizes, and everything has changed. There's no more yelling and screaming in the house, even though I'm a loud person. But my kids don't flinch at my voice. And he has just taken over all that anger and thrown it in the garbage. And righteous anger, I do get righteously angry, but I also see that line when I get to it, when it becomes unrighteous anger, and then it becomes rage. So I have to stop it before that and lay it down at the foot of the cross, and he takes it from me.
Amen.
And I'm just so grateful that he answered my prayers, but what I had to do was I had to have let him fix me first,
yeah,
for lack of a better term, and it changed everything in my life, everything in my house, everything in all the other people in my world, you know, and I'm grateful to God for that, so grateful to God.
Amen. What a great testimony, Vicki. You know, as you were sharing that and saying how your son was learning that from you, and you have to look in the mirror, and it's painful. We don't like to do that, the little phrase, sin in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. And the reality is we have to deal with ourselves. I don't know if you remember this old commercial about drugs, and it was a father who goes to his son and he finds drug paraphernalia, and he said, "Where did you learn this? Who taught you this?" And the son says, "You, all right, I learned it from watching you." And, you know, our kids, they pick up a lot from us. And so if we're fearful, we pass that on to them. If we're angry people, that we pass that on to them. If we're disrespectful, if there's no fear of God in our lives, that's going to bleed over into their lives. So praise the Lord that that you were willing to do that in your own life, Vicki, and that made a huge difference in your family and in your son's life. So, hey, thanks for calling in. And how long did it take you to really process through that?
It actually happened pretty quickly. I have to say about 3.5 years ago, the Lord came through our house like a whirlwind. He had to grab our attention because I'd been praying to him. I talked to him, but I had no personal relationship. And when he came through this house, because he was tired of waiting for us, and he swallowed it up. He took away the anxiety. See, when you have fear and anxiety, it becomes rage, anger, right, and everything else processes through. Right. And when he came in, it was literally a matter of months that things changed. And it was incredible. And my son used to cuss like I did. Every other word out of my mouth was terrible and filthy. And he just wiped that clean. It's like I always say, you know, when he came into our house, I finally opened the door and he sat at my table. The Holy Spirit moved in and threw all the stuff in my head into the garbage and just took over. And I stopped cussing. I stopped being angry. He gave me peace. He gave me joy, which I had never known. And that was shown to my kids and they saw it. Mm-hmm. My husband saw it, and they wanted to change because they even said, "Mommy, you're different." Mm-hmm. And it was just such a blessing, such a blessing.
How awesome. Hey, Vicki, if you could do me a favor, I would love to have your testimony in written form. If you could send that to me, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, and I would love to use that sometime in a sermon if you'd be okay with that.
I would, but I'm an unplugged family.
Oh, okay.
I'm completely computer illiterate. And that is another thing that saves our household, is there is no, you know, no internet and no cable, no television.
Well,
it's just you guys.
Well, if you could send me a letter.
Yes,
I would,
sir.
I would love to have it. You can go to fromhisheart.org and get our... Well, no, you can't do that.
Well, I can go to the library.
Okay. Well, I would love to have it, Vicki, because that will help a lot of other people. Because what God did in your life, he can do in somebody else's life. So that's an encouragement to them. Well, God bless you, my sister. Thank you for calling in. I'll look forward to getting that that testimony letter from you. All right, we have Chris from Ohio on the line. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Jeff, Pastor Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Go ahead.
I have two sons that aren't speaking, and they're both believers, so I know that they have the Holy Spirit, and I know God's at work in their hearts. One's going to counseling now for his anger. Trying to get the root of his anger, but my sons haven't been speaking for almost, well, they had a big blow up this summer. But anyhow, so just as a parent and someone that knows the Lord, I totally identify with your teaching and how long Joseph had to wait. Just what's the best thing as a Christian parent to love our kids, where their boundaries they set up is they want us to get together with them separately.
Yeah.
And so we did that Thanksgiving. We did that for Christmas. And this has been going on a while, and it's been hard.
How old are the boys?
32 and 36.
Okay.
And there's two grandkids. And the grandkids don't get to see their uncle and auntie. And it's been, we've been grieving, but we've also really have... you know, gone to God in prayer. My husband and I pray daily for them, and we're just trying to love them where they're at and trying to teach, ask him to show us what he's trying to teach us, the Psalms 139 prayer, and how he has, wants to work in their hearts on their characters as well. But, you know, just, I guess my question for you is, what's the best thing as a parent to do?
That's very painful when your kids don't get along and when there's been some kind of an issue that's created a rift. If your boys are believers, I would challenge them maybe individually with Romans 12:18, where it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And so just ask them to say, okay, in the situation with your brother, What is your part? Because it really, in a rift, it's not 100%, typically not 100% somebody else's fault, and you are zero at fault. But maybe it's 90% one brother's fault and 10% the other brother's fault. But if they'll take 100% responsibility for their percentage of the issue, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, and make things right maybe for that 10%. They'd be amazed at what that does for the other person and what that does for them to relieve them of the bad feelings, and just keep praying. I know it's difficult, Chris, but just keep praying for them, and just look for opportunities where you can speak a word of truth to them individually. Well, I'm sorry that we didn't get to Mark or Paul. We're running out of time, and so you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Thank you for being with me today. This is Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you again tomorrow, and Debbie is going to join me, so I look forward to being with you then. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.